and band and praise team, and choir. Made me nervous a minute ago. I looked down to get my Bible and it wasn't there. And I thought, oh, that's going to be exciting. But I left it up here. We're continuing our verse-by-verse study of the book of James. I hope you're being blessed by James and convicted as well. I certainly am. One of my favorite books, and I'd encourage you to read it often. It's only 5 chapters. It doesn't take long to read, and God will just burn His truth deep into our hearts and minds through that. Well, I want to speak to you today on this subject, God's stricter standard. God's stricter standard. When I was a child, I was taught a little song, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouths, what you speak." And while it's a child's song, I'm not even sure it's still popular today, it has great applicability to every Christian. We all need to be careful about what we see. Need to be careful about what we hear. But we certainly ought to be careful about what we speak. Now, that has great importance for every Christian, but far greater importance for a chosen few, as we'll see today, because God has a stricter standard for some. As I was studying this week, I really wanted to preach through the entirety of the 3rd chapter, but I just couldn't get past the 1st verse. And so I'll ask you to stand with me, please, to honor the public reading of God's precious word. I'll read one verse, James chapter 3, verse 1. The New King James reads like this: "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we teachers shall receive a stricter judgment." Please be seated, and as you do, bow with me in prayer. Father and God, thank you for the opportunity to preach and teach your word. And I accept that as the highest honor of my life. And I'm grateful for so many good and godly teachers and preachers here at Grace Baptist Church. I pray that we all would understand the significance of that call in our lives and that we would be fully faithful to it. For we know that you have a stricter standard for those of us who teach. Lord God, I pray now you're preaching through me. I pray that your words would be my words and your thoughts would be my thoughts. And Father, I pray that you'd silence me, that you'd be heard, and hide me, that you might be seen. And I do pray that the forces of darkness and evil that would come against us, it would hinder, it would disrupt, it would distract in any number of countless ways, might be bound from this place and bound from this people and bound from this property, that we might have perfect liberty. We might have open and receptive and discerning minds to receive your word, to let those words work the perfect work you intend, that we might be changed forever by them. And Father, I do pray that in all that's accomplished, Jesus Christ might be exalted for us. In his precious name that we pray, amen. 2 things I want to draw your attention to here today. And the first is the reality of a double standard. I preached 3 weeks ago on the danger of using a double standard in judging others. And that's exactly what we do when we show favoritism or play favorites or express partiality to one group of people over another. And God hates it. God hates it. He says in chapter 2, verse 9 of the same book, James, "But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." Please hear me when I say, God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't love you more or less because you're black or white or young or old or rich or poor or educated, uneducated. Jesus became the sins of all. He took those sins to a cruel cross and paid their penalty, which was his death. And then being fully God, he conquered death and arose from the grave. And now he calls out to whosoever will. Well, guess what? We're called to be like him. If we're called to be like him, we can't be like him showing partiality. We ought to extend the same measure of grace to all. We ought to extend the same offer of love to all. Only then can we become like Jesus Christ. But however, God clearly does use a double standard. He distinguishes and delineates in the teachers and preachers of the word in terms of assessing our works for the kingdom. And that's what James says, "Brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we'll receive a stricter judgment." It is painfully obvious that in our world today, precious few people take seriously the Word of God. You examine the lives of professing believers and you see very little difference in how they live and how the lost world lives. Precious few can have their lives examined carefully or scrutinized and see that they align up carefully with the Word of God. And I would tell you that's a dangerous, dangerous position because it indicates that we have compromised. We have compromised to fit in with this contemporary sinful culture. And that cannot be for a child of God. That's a direct contradiction to God's Word through James in the first chapter, verse 22. Be doers of the Word. Notice he didn't say just hearers. Be doers of the Word. He didn't say be doers of the Baptist way. Be doers of the Christian way. Be doers of the American way. He says be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Why is that such a big deal, preacher? Well, God understands that His Word is the only hope for a sinful man. John 1:14 tells us that the Word, with a capital W, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word. He manifests in human likeness for a season to accomplish God's purpose, that He might become our sins and die in our place, that we might be forgiven. But He is the eternal Word of God. He will stand forever and ever and ever. And guess what? Because we are in Him, you and I might be the only Bible some people ever read. Now, if that's true, it is incumbent upon us as Christians that we would so live our lives and so align our behavior with the Word of God that what others are reading of the Word in us is an accurate presentation of the truth and love of God. That explains to us why the enemy works so tirelessly to discredit God's Word. I looked at the latest survey I could find this week. It says to me that among born-again believers, now this is not just a general population, among born-again believers in Jesus Christ, less than 50% believe in the infallibility and inerrancy of God's Word. Think of that. Less than half believe that this is God's revelation of Himself to us without error, and it always accomplishes the purpose that He intends. And I would tell you, that's tragic. That shows us how effective the forces of darkness have been. The group that Satan seems to have had the most success with, however, is preachers. Now, I'm not saying that preachers don't believe the Word. I don't know how many do and how many don't, but I can tell you this, every day that goes by, it's harder and harder and harder to find a Bible preaching preacher. Most have resorted to the warm and fuzzy, feel-good sermons that allow people to feel good about themselves and that make him popular. Would you hear me when I say nothing about the call of God to preach the gospel is to be popular? It is to be precise in our presentation of God's truth, whether or not that makes us profitable. Excuse me. So we can see the devil working hard to try to discredit what we do, and we can see preachers giving in to the temptation, saying, I have to fit in, I have to go along, I have to please a certain group of people. And I would tell you that explains why the church is so weak and powerless, and listen, viewed by the majority of people in the world as irrelevant. Irrelevant. When 80% of the people in Columbia County have no church affiliation whatsoever, and you ask people and they say, why? Why would I be part of a church? Church means nothing to me. That says the devil has been very effective in discrediting the Word of God because the church is established by the Word of God. It's not an institution established by man. It's established by Almighty God. And it is sacred because it is His representation of Himself to this world. It's no wonder that we're so weak and anemic and disrespected by many. The church can never be what God intends until the church is committed to and founded on the Word of God. We need His power to live that out. And His power is released as we submit to His Lordship on a daily basis. Well, that's why God's so concerned about who teaches the Bible. A couple of qualifications are found right here. I'll point out to you very quickly. The first is, teachers of the Word should be Christians. Should be Christians. If you aren't a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and dwelt by the Spirit of God, there's no chance you're going to comprehend God's Word. No chance whatsoever. I realize that in college courses, the Bible is taught by pagans, and they do so with the specific intent of turning people away and discrediting its authenticity. They cannot, because they do not have the illumination of God's Holy Spirit in their lives. John 16:13. However, when the Spirit of truth come upon you, He will guide you into all truth. I would tell you, as a lost person, I read the Bible. I've been around the Bible all my life. I had a Bible when I was a child. Oftentimes, for birthdays and Christmas, I'd get a Bible. And I thought, that's a useless thing. I've read it once. It didn't do a thing for me. Not going to waste the time again. Because I'm telling you, you sit down when you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and you turn these pages, and it's nothing but a waste of ink. Means nothing. And then in the moment you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and the Spirit of God comes in you, you begin to have that truth of God illumined to your heart and mind. And you develop an appetite for it and a craving for it. And it sets you free of all the doubts and all the fears and all the deceptions that we have in our unregenerate state. I'm grateful to God for His calling. But we must be Christians if we're going to preach and teach the Word of God effectively. But notice also, we should be called. In some cases, that implies to vocational ministries like myself. There's no greater honor than being called to preach the Word of God. It's a form of teaching, but I am grateful to God and highly honored to be chosen for this profession. Though I would tell you, I was terrified by it initially and ran from it for years. Couldn't think of a more distasteful thing in the world to be than a preacher of the gospel. And yet, having surrendered to God fully, it's become one of the greatest joys of my life. And yet, I'm still overwhelmed by the responsibility that the position carries. Listen to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you. Now, this is speaking of a church setting, speaking of pastors and those vocational ministers. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. You mean preachers and teachers are accountable for those they teach? Listen carefully. Absolutely, we are. Absolutely, we are. Now, but not the way in you think. Please hear me when I say, I am not responsible to God for your salvation. I'm not responsible to God. I can't save you. If I could, you'd all be saved, and so would the entirety of Columbia County. I'd be saving people left and right, but it's not within my capacity to save people. I simply don't have that ability. I would say Romans 14:12 says, so then each shall give an account of himself to God. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, if you're standing there as a lost person, you're going to get the great white throne judgment. But God's not going to say, well, that Bill Healy did you wrong because he didn't save you. No, He's going to say, you rejected my Son. And because of that, you're going to be cast into outer darkness. It is your responsibility solely. However, I am fully responsible for the way I declare God's truth to you at every opportunity. I should do so in a way that makes it easy for you to understand and to apply to your lives. I believe that's exactly what the call to teach and preach is, to express God's Word in a way that people can embrace it and apply it to their personal lives. Well, that tells me I better take my preparation time seriously. I am accountable for every error and every missed opportunity as regards the Word of God. But I would tell you, I'm often shocked. I was recently shocked by a pastor friend, not in this area. You won't know who it is. Doesn't matter who it is. There are thousands of them. We were on the phone. And it was a Saturday afternoon. He said, I got to get started working on my sermons. I was dumbfounded. I was silent for a moment. He said, have you got yours done? I said, yeah. Well, I'm just starting. I couldn't know what to say, Kyle. I was just speechless. I thought, you're telling me that you're going to stand before God's people tomorrow and preach Sunday morning and Sunday night a message you're going to come up with in the next couple hours. And probably what that involves is getting on the internet to find out what the hot topic is, finding a sermon preached by somebody famous, because they know it'll be good then, and then making some notes and applying some personal illustration of that, and then standing up before God's people and expect that God's going to anoint that, and God's going to honor that, and God's going to bless that, and lives are going to be changed. I realize that God's word doesn't return void. But I'm telling you, that's blasphemous for a preacher of the gospel to say he's going to give a couple of hours Saturday afternoon for that which needs to feed God's people for the week and think somehow that honors God. I would tell you that that man needs to examine his call to the ministry. Something is desperately wrong with his approach to that. But I would tell you that that, again, is more common than we want to acknowledge. And I would tell you that God cannot be honored by that mindset. I start preparation for sermons on Tuesday. And I spend time in the passages I'm going to preach every day from Tuesday to Sunday. The first thing I do on Sunday morning when I get here, which is early, is make sure I've spent time in the Word to make sure that what I believe God has said, He has said, and I'm going to present it to you as best I know how, straight from the heart of Almighty God. And I would tell you, even with that, I still don't rest very easily on Saturday night because the burden is so great in my heart that I present God to you effectively and accurately. Now, I'm not the standard. I'm not the model. I'm not the example that other preachers ought to follow. I'm just nobody. But the fact is, I believe every preacher of the gospel ought to take so seriously His call that we spend time daily in the Word to make sure we've heard the voice of God and can present it to God's people in such a way that their lives might be changed forever. It is a serious matter. Here's why it's so serious. Three Gospels, Matthew 18:6, Luke 17:2, and Mark 9:42, explain to us, Jesus speaking, if any of you causes one of my little ones to stumble, it'd be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and be cast in the deepest sea. That's pretty serious business. You say, preacher, could you lose your salvation? Absolutely not. If I was cast in the sea and drowned, I'd go to heaven. But if that was the reason I was cast in the sea, I'd go to heaven empty-handed. Why? Because I have shirked my responsibility as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't imagine the shame of giving an account to God for having preached heresy. So, please understand, I may make mistakes. And when you speak as fast as I do, I certainly misspeak. But it'll never be from lack of preparation or lack of prayer intent on knowing and presenting God's truth. And what I would tell you and count on you for, if I misspeak or misrepresent God's truth, you ought to come to me following the admonition of Matthew 18 and confront in Christian love my error so that I can be set straight. And if I won't receive you as you've come, then you ought to go to get one of the elders to come with you to confront my error. And if I won't receive you and the elder, it ought to be brought to the church. God ought to be out of the ministry if I'm not willing to receive the truth of the Word of God. It's that serious. We dare not take it casually or flippantly. It's vitally important that we preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's also my job to practice what I preach. And the failure to do so reflects negatively on God's Word. If it's not important enough for me to live, why is it important enough for you to live? If it's not important for any of us to live, why are we bothering studying it? And if we're not going to study it, why are we even coming to church? I mean, what's the point? We just having some kind of a civic club with religious overtones? It makes no sense whatsoever. Well, what keeps preachers from living out God's Word most frequently? I think two things. I think first is arrogance. Arrogance. We think it doesn't apply to us because we're the preacher. And where that's manifest most, and I've seen it numerous times in my own life, from firsthand personal conversation is preachers that'll say, I don't tithe because I get paid so little in ministry. If I was in private industry, I'd be making twice what I'm making now. That difference is my tithe. The first time I heard that from a preacher, I said, are you kidding? Is this a joke that I've missed? No. God knows I'm worth way more than that church can afford to pay me. And so that difference of what I ought to be getting paid and I am getting paid is my offering to God. I said, where is that in the scripture? Well, God understands. There you go. That's what we always fall back to. God understands. He knows my heart. I said, you're right. God does understand. And you're in serious trouble. And it's the reason your church is in serious trouble. You got to get right. But God, of course, that wasn't well received. But it's okay. I just can't understand the arrogance of saying God's word doesn't apply to me because I'm the preacher, for heaven's sakes. It applies especially to me as the leader, an example for the flock to follow. But I believe arrogance is key. And I think secondly is ignorance. Ignorance. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Many, and I may say most preachers, are far better educated than I am. But education doesn't keep you from being ignorant, particularly as regards self-assessment. Do you realize that we all have blind spots? Blind spots. We don't see ourselves very objectively. We see ourselves through rose-colored glasses. We see ourselves very favorably. We give ourselves every benefit of the doubt. I've shared with you before. It's comical. Leela Fussy says, you always think you're right. Well, of course I do. I mean, don't you always think you're right? I mean, how many positions do you hold that you know are wrong, but you're just going to do it just for sport? I mean, think about it. None. You think you're right. That doesn't mean I am right. But I think I'm right or I would change. Blinders. We can't see ourselves objectively. It's not intentional. It's human nature. And we need accountability. We need folks in our lives. I have people all the time say to me, you know, I can't find an accountability partner that I can relate to. Well, you don't have to have one that you can relate to. Find one that'll hurt your feelings. That's what you're looking for. Find somebody that's not intimidated by you. Somebody that'll just tell you the truth. That's what you need to hear. You need somebody to pat you on the back. You need somebody to tell you the truth. Somebody that you can trust with that truth. Because we need accountability. We need the other eyes looking at us and telling us what they see. Accountability. And if we don't have that, we're going to be ignorant. And if they were ignorant about the word and how it applies to our lives, we might not be living it out. But it might not be intentional. It might not be rebelling against God. We just don't realize it's happening. So arrogance and ignorance, I think, are the key reasons. But I would tell you, it is a responsibility of every called preacher of the gospel to preach the word and practice the word. And there are no exceptions. Why? Because we're going to be held to a higher standard in the day of judgment. But that's not just true of pastors. That's true of every teacher of the word of God. All teachers are held to a higher standard. God calls and equips many saints to teach His word. Now, one of those telling signs that somebody is gifted or called to teach God's word is found in their spiritual giftedness. I have found that most teachers fall into one of three spiritual gifts: prophecy, teaching, or exhortation. That's not to say that's an exhaustive list. You can have any spiritual gift you want to, but if you have one of those three primary spiritual gifts, you probably ought to be checking up because God might want you to be a teacher right here at Grace Baptist Church. The gift of prophecy is the ability to comprehend God's word and relate it to others. The gift of teaching is a desire to research and study God's word to know God's eternal truth. And the gift of exhortation is the ability to encourage people through God's word. Now, if you have one of those gifts, God may well be calling you to teach. But if He is, He wants you to understand that you're going to be fully accountable for what you teach, so you better take it seriously. Whether you're gifted or not, if God calls you to teach His word, it is serious business, and you dare not be flippant about it. So hear me when I say, please don't sign up for that job because you think it'll make you look spiritual. Because it does for a season. But when you get into that classroom and you're starting to teach God's word on your own without the anointing of God, you're going to have a miserable time, and so are the people in your class. You need God's power. You need God's presence to present God's word in a life-changing way. And yet churches are filled with people that said, that'll give me influence. I want to sign up to be a teacher. Foolish mistake if God's not calling you to it. But I would tell you that I am so deeply thankful to God for the called and gifted teachers of the word that we have at Grace Baptist Church. Some of the best I know of anywhere. I mean, we have a number of master teachers who are serious in their presentation of the Word of God. And they research and they study and they have God's giftedness to illumine that truth such that they can present it in such a way as to be life-changing. And from everything that I know, they take it seriously, that responsibility to God to hold to a higher standard. But I would tell you that that is not optional. We must take it seriously. We must teach God's word with integrity and enthusiasm, and we need to be practicing what we're teaching. That is God's basic assumption for those who preach and teach His word. And those not willing to do so need to resign. Because you're digging yourself into a huge hole and you aren't going to like what it's going to cost to get out, because it'll bring the chastening of God into your life because of God's double standard. He takes His word very, very seriously. We say, well, preacher, what does that have to do with all of us that aren't preachers or teachers? I'm glad you asked. Because God's got a message for you. And that is this: given the awesome responsibility that preachers and teachers face in the sight of God, we need your prayer. We need your prayer that we might honor God with our preparation and with our presentation. Pray for your Sunday school teacher. Pray for them often. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the staff members of Grace Baptist Church. Why? Because I would tell you that to accomplish the mission that God intends, we oftentimes experience great opposition from the forces of darkness. I can't tell you the number of times I sat right there on that pew and just wrestling with feelings within that I'm not prepared, I can't preach this message. It's an attack from the wicked one, because he doesn't want God's people to hear God's word. And so it's a struggle, and I'm not alone. Every teacher of the Word of God has those struggles. So you need to pray for us. Pray faithfully. Pray regularly that we might be faithful in our preparation and in our presentation, but also I want you to pray for discernment. Discernment. So you can recognize the voice of God in the preaching and teaching of the word you're exposed to. You know, I am dumbfounded at the following some preachers and teachers have. I mean, at the millions of people that will follow heretical teachers. It just blows my mind. I'm thinking, do you have no discernment at all? Do you listen to what they're saying and not recognize the error in it? I would tell you, you need to have a mindset that says, everything that Pastor Bill says, I want confirmed in the Word of God. And if it can't be, it's just his opinion and it means nothing to me. But guess what? In order to do that, you've got to know the Word. Which means you've got to spend time in the Word. And you need the Spirit of God to illumine the Word to you. So we all have a responsibility. If the church, I don't mean just Grace Baptist Church, but if the church is to accomplish our intended mission, it's going to be through the preaching and teaching and living out the Word of God. So we've got to be discerning as to whether we're being taught truth. And if we aren't being taught truth, we need to get away from those teachers. It's incredible the folks that think they're discerning enough that they can listen to a heretic and pick out the good points and leave the bad. You're going to be deceived and you're going to believe lies. You better watch what trough you're feeding at, because a great many of God's people have been deceived and are now weak and powerless in their faith because they believe the lie. We've got to be careful about what we believe and make it always aligned to the Word of God. But if we will pray for our teachers and for our preachers and pray for discernment to recognize truth and error and reject the error, then we've got the potential to change our world for the glory of God. Folks, that's why we're here. We're not here to have church. We're here to be the church, to make a difference in Evans and Martinez and Augusta and Grovetown and throughout the Central Savannah River area, and we can by the power of God. But that power is released as we learn and apply God's word to our lives. Are we willing? Because if so, nothing can stop us. But if not, we're wasting our time. How we choose. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your precious word and the fact that it's alive and speaks to us with such power and such precision that our lives are changed by it. Thank you for the privilege that you've given to me and to many others to preach and to teach your word on a regular basis. And Lord, I'm grateful for their willingness to make the sacrifice. Father, I pray that you'd minister mightily to their need, that you'd equip them and encourage them, that they would invest the time necessary, Lord, to hear the voice of God, that they might pass along your truth to your people, so that we might become the church that you intend. Lord, I pray that for our staff. I pray that we might just be a word-centered church, that everything we do will be founded upon the word of God. Lord, we ask your forgiveness in any area that that's not been the case. But Lord, I pray your blessing upon your people as we go from this place, that we might understand our responsibility to pray for pastors and teachers and others that present the word to us, and then pray for your discernment that we not be deceived, that we might be all that you intend in the way of light and salt in this world that so desperately needs to see Jesus in us. Father, it might be that you've spoken with today, that you're calling into vocational ministry. I pray that that's the case. Nothing could hinder that they would show trust in you as to surrender all to Jesus Christ. Might be that you've spoken to others as you're calling to teach small group discipleship, Sunday school, whatever the case might be. Father, I pray that they too would make themselves fully available to you, understanding the sacrifice required, committing themselves afresh and anew that they would do just that, to be pleasing in your sight. But Lord, I pray for whatever decision needs to be made, that this might be the time that folks would step out and come to this altar and pray, or come and pray with this preacher, others here at the front to receive prayer for special needs and lives, and that we might be fully submissive to your lordship in this time of decision. Father, have your way. And in all that's said and done, we'll give you all praise and thanks, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand to your feet. If God's spoken to your heart, you've got a decision to make. This altar's open. You can give me pray. I'll be glad to pray with you. Miss Judy can as well. Mark can, others can as need be. Or you can pray just where you are. But as Brentley, this is how would you choose? Would you come?